Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, this is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron. Only the tornado will be a little bit late tonight. So I guess we'll just put the tornado warning in effect until, I guess, 8:30 or so, when the tornado shall arrive. I'll be calling in along with Tom, I'm sure, any second now. We'll have Psychic Tom with us. We got a lot of MMA and boxing news, of course, to cover, and upcoming events. Past events, we had a big knockout of Ryan Nelson over the weekend in MMA, so I'm sure Tom's going to be chomping at the bit to talk about that. We got no guests tonight. Take a week off from guests after 2 weeks, two guests each show. So we'll be back next week with a guest for sure. We're working on Chad Dawson actually for tonight. He's got a fight coming up October 4th, but not for a long way out. So working on that, but I haven't put it together yet. Anyway, got a lot of news to cover. Big story involving the World Series of Fighting. We'll talk about when we get time. But we had a fight over the weekend, 33-year-old former featherweight titleist, this is boxing now, Orlando Salido, 42-12-2 with 29 KOs. Years ago, he had a win against Robert Guerrero that was, I think, overturned because he had tested positive for some kind of steroid, and he alleged that it was meat he was eating, the cows were being given steroids. So how valid that was at the time, but he's back in action in, down in Mexico. Came off the floor three times and scored four knockdowns of his own to earn an 11th round knockout of Turdsack Kokiet Jim, who's 53-5-1 with 33 KOs from Bangkok, Thailand. So pretty intense fight there. Saturday night. From actually Tijuana, Baja, California, Mexico. And so actually acting on the TV being an interim super featherweight title. And here's Tom.
Yes, sir. Tijuana, Mexico. What a great place to watch fights.
Yeah. I've never been, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I understand they have quite a rivalry with Mexico City, one of the big nationalistic battlegrounds there. And I know Mexico City, they used to, when I lived in L.A., they had some fights there on the Spanish-speaking channel back in 1980. And they had some great wars, I'll tell you. Those guys were in there just giving it everything they had. Probably weren't getting rich at it, but my God, did they come to fight.
Well, I hope you came to fight tonight, Tom, because I'm teaching you here. Tommy is late. He's doing some shit, I guess. Anyway, big story this week. World Series of Fighting is doing revenue sharing on their new pay-per-view project, I guess you could call it, in 2015. And they say, quote, it could, quote, forever change the earning potential, unquote, for MMA fighters. Fighters will be receiving 50% of all net revenue brought in by an event. So, it's a pretty big deal for the World Series of Fighting. You talk about trying to be the World Series. Big deal.
Yeah, that and in fact, our promoter of Real MMA, Rudy Morales, he signed with World Series of Fighting, so he's another one. If we can get him on as a guest, maybe he'll have a little different perspective on that. That should be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you gave me a list of people I got to try to get in touch with because I can't keep having no guests on the show. I like to be pumping guests out there. Especially after 2 weeks in a row with two guests on the show. But sometimes it's good to have a break. We do have a lot of news stories this week. Actually, going back to that one, World Series of Fighting already has a bunch of big fighters. Their main stars, John Fitch, Rusamar, Paul Harris, Yushin Okami, Jessica Aguilar, Melvin Villard, Justin Gaethje, Nick Newell, Glenn, and many others. It's a pretty good group, but if you're going to start doing what they're doing, I'm imagining a lot more people will go right to them next.
That really sounds like an alumni of former UFC fighters. And I always felt kind of bad for John Fitch getting cut the way he did. He just kind of have a bad taste in my mouth about that whole thing.
Yeah. What about Nate Diaz? What do you think about him? Mostly he's back.
Yeah, how about that? I guess he... from what I heard, the word was either renegotiate my contract and pay me more or give me a top five guy. So they gave him number three, Rafael Dos Anjos. So, okay.
There you go, buddy. And supposedly I read a headline that you read the story. Supposedly there's no contract yet. So we'll see if he backs up his... flapping jaws. I'm not sure he's going to come off that fresh. We'll see if he's been training still through all of this. There's another news story, too, that his brother, Nick Diaz, his fight with Silva is going to go on despite this DUI. It's kind of interesting because we haven't really talked about Rumble. Anthony Johnson, thrown out of the UFC, technically suspended indefinitely. For a domestic violence thing that hasn't even really hit the courts yet, as far as I know. And here you have Nick Diaz, DUI confirmed, no suspension for him. It's kind of interesting, especially, because they're trying to of Johnson out because they're trying to be like the NFL, pouncing on every little thing.
Well, it seems like domestic violence is the hot button item right now, as it should be. I'm not arguing that, but the DUI is not really. Haven't heard. You remember John Jones had that problem come up, and
right. I think
he didn't get so. Yeah, so I'm just not sure what their formal policy is on driving under the influence. I don't know.
Well, it doesn't surprise me anyway. But there's trouble again. Hopefully he gets that cleared up. The Anderson Silva versus Nick Diaz fight takes place. But Nate Diaz is back. The whole Diaz family is freaking happy, I guess. But it's all part of what's going on this week.
Rich, what is the date of that Diaz Silva fight? Do you know offhand? Because I don't.
It's going to be next year.
It's going to be next year. Next year, you said.
I think so. Don't quote me on it. We did have a big event over the weekend, UFC. Fight Night Hunt versus Nelson. I'm sure you were right there in Saitama, Japan watching it, Tom, weren't you?
Boy, it's just another one of those. I've got to polish my crystal ball, I think, I did not see that coming. I just didn't. And I'm wondering if the question here now is, sometimes we see this in boxing, that these guys with the cement chins, all of a sudden, their chins aren't cement anymore. And once they've been dented massively like that, it never comes back. And we've seen that with Tex Cobb, Mustafa Hamsho. I'm sure I can come up with a lot off the top of my head if I think about it. So that's the question about big country.
I don't think Nelson was really out, though. He just fell in such a way that there was no way he was going to recover. Hunt would have been all over and done, but it was like a flash knockout, if anything. And I think what happened is just he got too content boxing with Hunt, and he had two leg kicks, and both times he hit leg kicks, the announcers were like, great leg kicks, you know, that's the ticket. And I think it's one fight where his fatness got in the way of his skill, you know. If you're a little skinnier, you can throw a lot more of those leg kicks, and you can prevent that guy from getting close enough to land the punch that knocked you out. And, you know, he works with Jeff Mayweather, Roy Nelson, in Vegas.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So, you know, he got good hands when he knows how to use them, but his problem was he got so tired, as a physique again, he got so tired he was holding his hands by his chest late in the fight. And then that led to not only doing that, but just he's leaning forward, bending over, huffing and puffing. And just when he leaned over enough, Hunt timed that uppercut, and that's all it takes. I mean, that was a beautiful punch. I don't think Roy Nelson would have won the fight if it went the distance either, though. He just seemed like he was getting gassed, number one, and he just didn't mix it up enough. It was all hands, all hands. Two leg kicks. Come on now.
All right. So, now the question is, do you think he's at the stage of his career? Because I know he's no kid now. I don't know how old he is off the top of my head, but I assume he's north of 30. And he's how old?
I can check. A second. If Show Dog tells you that. But Hunt, I mean, Hunt is a fat guy, too, a little bit. Advantages. Because he's a little bit lighter, I think. And Nelson, I mean, that's really a beer keg he's got in his stomach there he's carrying around. So I think that...
It's just common sense tells us that can't be helping his cardio. So you got to wonder now if it's time for him to start slimming down a bit or thinking about a new vocation. I mean, I don't know this, but it's, you know, I think it begs the question that as you get older, believe me, cardio starts to leave, and it's frustrating, but it is what it is.
While we're waiting for the stats on Nelson, Miles Fury was in the co-main event. Did not take long to disappoint the Japanese fans in attendance. Takanori Gomi got dispatched 1 minute and 32 seconds with some basically stand-up action. Jerry threw some pretty mean hooks and tagged up Gomi.
Yep. I guess Jerry was asking the question, how much longer can they ignore me? You know, I mean, with performances like that, he just seems to be getting scary dangerous.
And then we had Yoshihiro Akiyama. He got the job done over there in front of his home fans against Amir Sagala, won a unanimous decision. Sagala, it doesn't surprise me. He's up and down. Yeah, he's a real good fighter, but certain styles he's not very good against. And speaking of that, Rin Nakai ran into a certain style she cannot deal with. You should say style, and pretty dominant on Kate's part, but Nakai really didn't impress me. She really didn't have much. Nothing. It seemed like she tried to rely on her boxing too, and just didn't have it. And I really didn't see any of the other fights. Kichi Kunimoto won a split decision over Richard Walsh, Kaiuki Horiguchi, John Dale Sikunes. That was a knockout in the first round, TKO. Masanori Kanahara beat Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres, by unanimous decision. Or the World Series of Fighting, basically. Katsunori Kikuno beat Sam Cecilia by rear naked choke. That was actually an interesting fight from what I saw. And Hyung-Gyu Lim the Takanori Sato by knockout from elbows, first round, 118. Kim Ho Kang beat Michinori Tanaka by a split decision. Johnny Case beat Kazuki Takudome by technical submission, guillotine choke. And the first fight of the night, Maximo Blanco beat Daniel Hooker by unanimous decision. And let's see if we go to age. A 38 years old for Roy Nelson.
38? Okay.
He weighs 250. 205 without the gut. No, I don't know.
Well, we've been down that road before, and I don't think that's going to be happening anytime in this incarnation for him.
This is Burger King Fox. He's lost three of his last four. He's got a six-fight contract he's on right now. I don't think the UFC will any reason anytime soon. He was talking about fighting the champ before this fight, and obviously that's not happening. I'd like to see him keep going and improve and work on that defense. Don't ever bend over. Just me, whatever. Get a hold of him, and maybe he can throw some uppercuts at him with the punch mitts. Maybe he should spend less time leaning over the buffet table.
Yeah, that may be part of the problem. Did you know what he weighed in at for this fight? Was he in the 260 range? Or?
Well, they got him at 249, I'm sure, though, but I don't know what he weighed in this fight. Then we got a big UFC fight coming up this weekend at the MGM Grand Vegas. Big main event. Time to fight Demetrius Johnson fighting Chris Carriasso. Johnson's 20 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw. Fighting Carriasso, who's 17-5. Not too many people are really excited about this fight, but what can you do?
Well, I think part of the problem is not even so much the weight division, but it's just that, again, Johnson just seems on another level. I mean, everything else that everyone else does, he seems to do a little bit better. He's well-rounded. He can finish the fight. His cardio's insane. And it just seems like Carrasco's going to have a very, very difficult assignment. So I don't think it's so much, you know, you hear some talk about the weight division, but I don't think it's so much that. I think it's just the skill gap seems to be so big at this point.
Yeah. The rest of the card actually does shine through, though. That main event makes up for whatever people see lacking in that, too. We have Donald Cerrone in the co-main event. 24-6 going into this fight. Going up against Eddie Alvarez from Bellator. And this is Alvarez's first UFC test. Talk about throwing somebody to the lions.
Yeah, this is intriguing. Cerrone's on a 4-fight win streak, and he's finishing opponents. They're not getting much, you know, they're not going to the distance. I mean, he's hitting all 8 cylinders now. Yeah, I mean, it seemed like after that loss to Anthony Pettit, he just went back to the drawing board and look out. Of course, Eddie Alvarez is always, I mean, where can you go wrong with him either? So this is, what do they say, worth the price of admission itself.
And we have Conor McGregor from over across the pond. He's 15-2, fighting Dustin Poirier. Who's 16-3? That's a pretty interesting matchup.
Yeah, we do. There seems to be a lot of bad blood. I mean, I don't know if it's just pre-fight talk, but Connor's really thrown some low punches here, calling him a stupid hillbilly, and you know, kind of condemning him for leaving his hometown. I don't know if you caught any of that. Did you catch any of that, Rich? What he said about that?
No, I'm not surprised, but McGregor
well,
is. Very
egotistical. Yeah. Boy, he's just, well, his attitude is that a true champion shouldn't have to leave home. Well, I could think we could dispute that. That there are some places where the opportunity is a little better. And, he kind of had a few words with Daniel Cormier on that, too. I mean, because Daniel is from the same hometown that Dustin's from. So, a few words about that.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. We had Dominic Cruz, too, on this card, coming back from 8 years off. No. Probably 2 years. 2 years, maybe?
Yeah, in 2011. So it's been a little longer than that. And this is not a cheap date that he has. It's on the prelims, by the way. And he's facing a power puncher. He better not make a mistake in this fight.
Takeya Mizugaki. He's showing up here as the eighth fight of the night. So that would be the fourth fight. We've got to have at least four fights. Anyway, Mizugaki is 27-2, 20 wins, 7 losses, 2 draws. Tim Kennedy's also on the card. He's 18-4, fighting Joel Romero. He has just 1 loss, 8 wins.
Yeah, I think that is another intriguing matchup. So this is a pretty stacked card. Got to give him credit for this. I mean, on paper, everything looks good.
And some of these preliminaries could be main events. James Kraus fighting Jorge Masvidal. He's got over 50 fights worth of experience. Kraus is 21-5. Masvidal is 27-8. A female fight between Amanda Nunes, 9-3, and Kat Zingano, who's still undefeated. This is her first fight coming off of knee surgery.
Yeah, and that's a whole other intrigue is what does how is she bounced back from that? So we got lots of questions in this card. Lots of questions.
You got to imagine too, Zingano would probably be first in line to fight Rousey if she wins.
Right, exactly. So there's a lot on the line here, and she better win, and she better look pretty good.
And we got Brian Ebersole versus John Howard. Ebersole, 15 wins, 16 losses, and 1 draw. Howard is 22-9, and he's been doing pretty good since his UFC return. And met him in person out of Boston.
I think this is another one of those giant question marks. You know how good Howard's wrestling is. I mean, he can shut anyone down when he's on, but Ebersole's dangerous. He's been around seemingly forever. I don't know when his first fight was, but the guy really goes back quite a while, I think. So I'm sure he's dealt with good wrestlers before, so this will be another interesting matchup.
Yeah, we have Patrick Cote, 20 wins, 8 losses, fighting Stephen Thompson, who's 9-1. Last in the past, Cote. Manny Gamburian, 13-8, fighting Cody Gibson, who's 12-4. And the first fight of the night, couple 8-1 guys, John Tuck versus Kevin Lee. Pretty short names and identical records. Now that's your fight card for UFC 178. We'll be talking about that one next week, I'm sure. And, of course, we got Bellator to talk about, too. The Rhino got gored a little bit by Doug Marshall. He got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, I kind of sensed that may have been just a little difference in skill level and quality of fighting. Manoff just looked superb.
Yeah, and he seemed almost hesitant. Somebody said on Twitter, stop bouncing around so much. Like, he's on his toes way too much. He probably could have ended it earlier. Even the knockout punch was a little sloppy. You know? He's probably aiming for the temple, and he ended up hitting him behind the ear.
Yeah, but it just seemed to me like it was one of those fights, though, that it ended inevitably. that Marshall just was not, he just was not in it. And I don't know if he just felt something early on, he felt that power, if he just felt he couldn't close the skill gap. I mean, because he's always brought it before, but he seems to come up short in these big ones. So we'll see where his future is.
And we have Rafael Carvalho beat Brian Rogers by TKO. First round, 306.
Yeah, Brian, this was intriguing because Brian's past, and I'm sure you've seen him before, and he's always been the kind of guy that it just seems to be in his DNA to just come out with both guns blazing and go after your opponent quick. He's a headhunter. He likes to jump on him fast, and that's his style. Now, the problem is, and you look at his physique, he's a pretty muscular guy, and, you know, the old cliche in the fight game, Rich, you know how that goes. Those big muscles need fed. And a lot of times the big muscle guy is, I mean, you know, a novice, someone new at this, and I'm sure you've seen the same thing with, if you have some people that really don't understand the game much, and they'll always go with the big muscle guy. They'll think, oh, wow, look at that guy's muscles. He's got to win this thing. Not necessarily. We know different. And I think that Brian tried to hold back a little bit to save his cardio, and, you know, I don't know if it was a strategy thing. And I know with the stoppage, I don't know how you felt about that, but I'll say this much. The referee had yelled at him a couple times, fight back.
Right.
And he wasn't throwing back. Now, his argument was he was trying to stand up. But to me, I think when you hear that first warning, defend yourself, you've got to do something a little more on the offense. I mean, I feel bad for Brian, but if, what's the saying? It is what it is.
Deal with it. We got tornado on the line. The tornado warning no longer
effective. I said I'd be between 8:15 and 8:30, and I called in exactly 8:22 and 30 seconds.
Perfect timing, buddy. Perfect timing.
Mm-hmm. I try. How are you gentlemen tonight?
We're rocking and rolling.
All right. So what? Oh shit! I'm knocking shit over. What's on the agenda?
Well, for this coming week, I don't know. I don't have box set up for boxing. Been chatting about some other stuff. But how about Canelo Alvarez signing this big deal with HBO? What do you think about that? Apparently,
Every time, like, you take one of these fighters and then move it to a network, you know, what you're running into here is potential lost matchup or potential new matchup. So, I mean, going to HBO, I mean, you know, we'll see where he's able to move and, you know, get some matchups, you know, on that network.
Apparently, Showtime's pretty pissed off because their executive, Steven Espinosa, said he got a multi-year package approved, and they accepted it. Canelo's going to be here for several years, and we'll fly him up for a celebratory dinner in New York. HBO deal starts in December, and basically the sticking point there turned out to be some kind of extra fee. So, anyway. It gets pretty interesting because Oscar has talked since July about wanting to have Canelo fight Miguel Cotto in May with HBO fighters on the undercard. He said, the deceitful manner Oscar went about it, as if there's no repercussions to this promise that was reneged on the company you do business with. So, I'm very happy. So, Canelo's locked up with HBO. Yeah, that goes. Saw an interesting story about a former guest of ours the other day. Vargas now being trained by Roy Jones. Did you hear about that, Tony?
No, I do not. Could you repeat that?
Jesse Vargas is now being trained by Roy Jones.
No, I did not hear that. I had the pleasure of seeing Jesse fight when he won the title on the Pacquiao undercard out in Vegas. And, you know, not a big puncher, but he's a skillful fighter. And it's interesting to see what Roy can do outside of the ring now. I always say this, some of the most talented fighters don't necessarily make good trainers because of their natural abilities or things that you can't teach. I always said, like, who would I rather had, like, train me for technique? Bernard Hopkins or Roy Jones? And this is not a slight at either one of them. I would always say Bernard Hopkins, because Bernard is, even from the beginning of his career, so technically proficient. You know, he does everything right. You know, angles, movement, footwork. Roy,
right,
won so many fights, especially early in his career, on just his natural, uncanny skills. You know, punching off the back foot, moving one's hands down, doing stuff like that. Stuff that if anybody else tried, they were getting their heads deposited in the fifth round. And then later in his career, Roy did get his head deposited in the third round. So now it's interesting to see what skills he can train a fighter, because he was the one with the rock.
You know, Tony, since you mentioned that, I don't think it's a coincidence that Roy won the first fight with Bernard, and Bernard won the rematch. I don't think there's any coincidence in there at all, because Bernard is just so technically sound and so technically solid. And it was funny, when you were mentioning that about the training, I thought the same analogy you did. You know, who would you rather have trained you? And Bernard is the technician.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know what? I always said this. And what made me really think about this is the guy that I was a teammate with at Lock Haven for 1 year. And he was a guy on my team. I mean, he was a Roy Jones fan to the point of when, like, he would, like, walk to the ring. He would carry a Roy Jones shirt when he was walking to the ring. And he would try to emulate him. And he was a decently skilled fighter, but, yeah, only about, tenth of a percent of what Roy was. And he would try to emulate all the shit. And it's like, dude, you can't do that. You're not him. And he ended up losing most of his fights, because he was trying so hard to be Roy Jones. And I said, like, take fighters from, like, every era and who people really try to imitate, and it's the worst fighter to imitate. Back in the 60s and the 70s, who did everybody want to imitate?
Muhammad Ali, and how many? I read once he ruined a generation of fighters because there's
exactly
only one Muhammad Ali, only one. Exactly. What is the first thing you hear in a boxing gym? Keep your hands up. Hands up. Okay?
Don't lean back with your chin up. Don't throw your jab this way. He did everything wrong. He got away with it.
The whole thing is, for the rest of us, 99.9%, that ain't going to work.
Exactly.
It gets down to, can you do what LeBron James does on a basketball court? Can you teach that?
Exactly.
I don't think so.
Then, if I was coaching you on basketball, which obviously I never would, because I can barely, shoot a free throw, but if I'm trying to coach you, am I going to try to make you do the thing? Will I show you Michael Jordan and be like, okay, go do that? Do that from the foul line and dunk it. Yeah, go ahead. Now, right when Ali was finishing up, who was the next one that really came along, that was really charismatic, that everybody wanted to be? Now, he was a little bit technically more proficient, but he did things that were mistakes too.
You talking about Sugar Ray Leonard?
Sugar Ray Leonard, exactly. Because Sugar Ray had such exceptional hand speed, and, now, right, he wasn't as unorthodox, but he did the things that could wind up bolo punches, and, you know, he did things that if you were training somebody, you might probably would rather have them watch the other guys in the Big Four, Hagler, Hearns, Ray, because they were more conventional.
Right.
And they were more technically superior. Ray Leonard was just more physically freakishly gifted. And then I think you kind of jump right in there. I mean, Tyson, a lot of people tried to imitate Tyson because, you know, of his blazing, you know, power and speed early in his career. And Mike, I mean, as Mike's career went on and he wasn't training as much anymore, you really got to see the faults of his technique, how he would get squared up, how he would let guys punch him. So a bunch of the mistakes that early in his career he was able to get away with.
Well, yeah, and I think plus he had Cus D'Amato right in his ear all the time, too. And then when Cus passed away, he had Jim Jacobs that he would listen to. And then when Jacobs went, or he had those, I call them, you demand guys. And I think he was relying on his power. But how many fighters have that kind of God-given power that Mike Tyson had? I mean, it's that old Teddy Atlasism, punchers are born, not made. I mean, it's not that we all can't improve our punching power, depending on the hours we spend in front of the bag and the technique. You know what I'm saying. But to come out of the chute like that, that's like a guy throwing a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Well, how many of us could learn how to do that? I mean, it's just certain guys have certain skills, and trying to pattern yourself after them is a recipe for disaster.
Yep,
we've seen it.
Right now, some session in your gym talk.
I need
a lesson.
Yeah, like even today, I see guys that I know that they try to imitate Mayweather. And there's only one Floyd Mayweather. Now, I'm going to give you guys a great example here, and I bet you Tom laughs. Okay, there's only one Floyd Mayweather, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
He's got to be, I mean, out of this world to even try to imitate him. I'm going to give you a championship-caliber fighter that can't even imitate him, and that's Adrian Broner. Broner is a world champion, and he is still a poor man's Floyd Mayweather. And he tries to do the shit that Mayweather does, and he ended up getting his clock cleaned by doing it against the guy Mayweather beat twice.
Very good point, because Broner has skills that most fighters don't. He has natural abilities and talents most fighters don't. And if he can't do it, how in the heck do you think the average guy can? I mean, that doesn't mean that maybe certain guys can't learn a shoulder roll on occasion, but to get that style, I've always said that style of standing in front of someone and not using much lateral movement and making them miss all night is a very, very difficult style to master.
Well, it's a good thing you bring up Floyd Mayweather, because do I have some material on him? The episode was the subject of a recent Nevada State Athletic Commission hearing, but the excess where Mayweather had like a 24-minute round or 34-minute round, supposedly. In the doghouse, they call it.
Yep.
No rest. And it was the Rockman family, Haseem's kids.
Yeah.
The younger brother and older brother fighting a kid from England. Right. So one kid gets in the doghouse against the kid from Britain, and he gets all tagged up. And the older brother jumps in and fights a 34-minute round and knocks the guy out and messed up his little brother.
He beat him up pretty good, too. I mean, they said he really kicked his ass. And, you know, okay, that's the doghouse or whatever. Now, listen, I came from a pretty tough gym in Philadelphia. And believe me, we had something, you know, where people had to be straightened out. Never. Never once. Did anything ever get that out of control? And I'll give you a couple grand examples. We had a guy in our gym, and this is when I was first starting out, his name is Dad. He looked like a mini Sandy Hall.
that cut. And he's got new patient trainer, because the trainer had the audacity to try to teach him techniques. And therefore, he was too good for techniques. And, you know, he didn't want to learn the jab anymore. He wanted to get in there, and he really wanted to show some people. He wanted to do that. So he left the gym for a month, and he was pissed. He came back about a month or 6 weeks later, and he was popping off at the mouth a little bit, and the trainer's like, I'll make a deal with you. He's like, if you can get in there and last 3 minutes with any of our trained fighters, all you got to do is last 1 round, you get a 3 month free. Well, hey, the rec center wasn't high dues. It was a lot of these guys, what's up with them? And he goes, you know, he says, you cannot last 1 round. You cannot go the 3 minutes. You pay double dues, which that extra $3 will be the kid that can't afford dues. He'll get a free month. And they put Dez in there with a pro fighter. Now, this guy was, you know, the pro fighter was 37 years old. And I sparred with him, and he had tattooed me a few times. And he could be kind of a dick. But they said, listen, they said, don't, you know, hit him in the... Because I was one of the guys they thought about putting him in there with. Because, remember, I was the only white kid there. That would be kind of a disgrace for him to get knocked out by a white kid. You know. But they decided against me because I was still so green. Their fear was I would clip him on the jaw, knock him out, and then it's like, oh, well, wasn't that true? He got knocked out by a trained fighter. He wanted him to quit. So they put him in with this guy, Mike. Nick would only jab him in the forehead where the Everlast on the headgear was, so it wasn't like hit him in the face or hit him in the mouth or hit him on the jaw, and then he'd hit him with body shots. So Dez couldn't go no more. But as Dez was starting to take a beating and he didn't want to quit, the trainer came in there and stopped it because he was starting to get beat up a little bit. That it was no doghouse. I had a guy, you know, I personally liked the guy. He was a little bit older. I don't want to be a little bit older, but if I was 18, 19 years old, he was probably younger than what I am now. He's probably in his mid to late 30s. He would always get in there, and they'd always say, okay, I just want to work easy. And then he'd start trying to clip the guy a little bit. And, oh, sorry. And then he'd be a little annoying. So, like, they put me in there with not really in a bad mood. So I'm like, I'm fucking beating him. I went in there, and I thought of beating him up pretty good. But the trainer, you know, knew how much he could take and how much until he, you know, really over his head. And I was, you know, hitting him in the body a little bit. You could see he was trying to, and he was against the ropes. And I was holding back, and the trainer's like, you know what, finish him off, Tone, only to the body. So I hit him with 2 body shots, and he kind of fueled up. Still standing, but he kind of fetaled up, and then the trainer's like, okay, fight, done. It's over. So you had him there where guys, you know, we were handling our issues, but there was nobody getting hurt. There was no, we still went 3 minute rounds, and there was still respect in there. That's the most important thing. The funniest one, and I missed it the one night because I was back at college, my dad was there because he was, you know, still helping out, hanging the bags and helping out some of the fighters. One guy that I used to train with, his name was Adrian. And Adrian, to me, was like a godsend. When I started there, 18 years old, he was about 38. And he was he was like our Bernard Hopkins. Tremendous shape. He would get in there and line 4 guys up and like, all right, I'll go 3 rounds with each of you. And he would go 12 rounds, and you would be lucky if you got him first before he warmed up instead of getting him last. Because the man didn't get tired. But he was a nice guy, and if you were working, and he was hitting me with maybe like a right hand, he would stop. Like, okay, Tone, stop. Listen, you're dropping your left. That's why I'm hitting you with your right hand. You got to keep your left up. Maybe you got to turn, or maybe you got to slip to your right. And he was also like a coach in there. Never tried to hurt anybody. He was just a great guy. Well, his cousin used to be there, too. And his cousin had some pro fights. You could tell he was a little punchy. And he was there the one night, and Adrian's hitting the bag. Leaving the buddy, bothering nobody. He's hitting the bag. And this guy, Jesse, behind him. Yelling at him. He's like, God damn it, he hit the club. He smashed Adrian over the head with it. Adrian's like, all right, no, he's nonsense. Get in the ring. Let's go. And they got in the ring, and Jesse's talking the whole time. And Adrian was just like, almost like,
silent with laughter. My girl, keep talking. Come on. Jeff was doing all these punches, and Adrian's just picking them off and looking at him, and then finally he clocks him. And he gets him in the corner, and he's beating him around the circumference of the ring until the bell rang. Bell rang, and everybody's laughing. And Jeff says, he's just got his ass handed to him. Okay, all right, what's that? I'm done. Take my gloves off. My trainer, Kevin, is there holding a water bottle. He's got another round, right? And squirts the water right in his face and goes up his nose. He's like, no, goddammit, take my gloves off. Oh, another round, right? And squirting the water right in his face. But nobody got hurt. That's the most important thing. I just went off on a little bit of a tangent because shit like that reminds me of my good times.
Yeah, and coming from Philadelphia, that's always had the reputation of some of the toughest gym wars in the business. And Mayweather's gone way, way, way beyond even that. So be interesting to see what the Nevada Commission... You know, it'll be very interesting to see what the Nevada State Athletic Commission does about this. This is going to be interesting.
Wait a second. There's a part of the story I haven't got to now. The Athletic Commission is not only pissed about that as well with Mayweather. They say that the point of asking him to come to the meeting is not to accuse anyone of anything. We want to get a clarification about what happened on All Access. There were situations and sparring sessions that we need to talk about. One thing is to talk about making sure you have two equally paired fighters and that you're not putting one fighter in danger. The other is that round went 32 minutes, according to the show.
They say the promoters...
What they're more concerned about, I think, even than that one session, is that Mayweather is trying to get a promoter's license. And they say with the promoter's license comes a higher standard of doing business, so we want to have a conversation with him. How it goes will determine the direction the commission takes. So here's what happened. Also, on top of that, on the show, there was some marijuana smoking. And it said they didn't like that. One guy said it was an issue, another guy said it's not a major concern. So here's what happened. They went to the meeting. Mayweather appeared at the meeting and explained it's a reality show and it's not real. It's all a figment of our imagination. He did the Jedi mind trick on the Nevada State Athletic Commission, and they believed it. They just took it blind and sinker, and that just shows you how much money this guy makes for this town. He said that the marijuana wasn't real. He said they weren't laying bets down at this doghouse competition. He added that, I guess, there was some breaks that weren't televised and set it all up for the TV show. That's his story, and he's sticking to it.
Well.
And at the same time, we have another story about the Athletic Commission, because Wanderlei Silva, who just basically retired over the week that since we had our last show, put out a video and retired, like a highlight reel combination rant combination retirement video, where he just basically went off on the UFC, and we talked about this when Manon Barão did not make weight. This was a real sticking point for Wanderlei retiring, the Nevada State Athletic Commission banned him indefinitely after he ran from the test. They wanted to really set an example. But before that all happened, he went off on YouTube and put out this video. And he was up in arms about the fact that the UFC did not give Manon Barão anything when he didn't make weight. They paid his other guy the show money and the win money. And they didn't pay, but they didn't pay Barão anything. And apparently Silva was very upset about that and other situations. And the fact that, you know, these fighters are fighting so much and the UFC doesn't care about them, this, that, and the other thing. He felt disrespected and the fans were turned against him.
And you know, Rich, I believe you sent me that video, I think you, sir, someone sent it. Had, well, I think it was you that sent me the video, this interview.
Right.
And did you notice what he said in there, that when he initially said, I'm not really in shape, I have some injuries, and I can't fight at that time? And all of a sudden they said, well, we have, we're going to really make it double your pay or something. You know, they're really going to make it worth your while financially. And Vanderlei just called him right out on that. He said, hey, if the money's not an item, why didn't you offer that money to me in the first place? Why did I have to be half dead? And then you said, well, now you need the incentive. And I thought that was interesting, very interesting point.
Yeah, and he claims he was on the drugs, the diuretic, because of the injury.
Hey, here's a question for you, because I think you're kind of a legal on this stuff. Now, Vanderlei has been suspended, I guess, for life at this point. And they also gave him a $70,000 fine. Now, is that fine collectible? I mean, suppose Vanderlei says, well, if I can't fight anymore, why don't you guys take a hike? And I don't know if they could go to court on that. How does that work? Or do you know?
Well, he's a foreign citizen, I'm sure he's got citizenship in Brazil, so he doesn't need to come to Vegas unless he's coming to watch a fight at this point. And you could totally duck that if you wanted to. I mean, I would not advise him to as a lawyer, but where is he going to get the money?
Well, it still comes down to that if they've suspended him for life and he's got this fine, well, how can they enforce this? I mean, they've already done everything to him that they can do. They said, your career is over with. And in the meantime, pay us $70,000 on you before you fly back to Brazil. Well, it's like, what the hell, come on. I mean, I just don't see them going to court and being able to get some kind of a judgment. You see what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't think he would go that far. I think he would just ignore it, kind of like, I don't know what's a good example of ignoring shit. I don't know. I really think he just would ignore it. He would just hang out in Brazil for a while. And, I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to send U.S. Marshals after him?
Right, yeah, that's exactly it. And I don't know if they would have the jurisdiction to even go to court and get a judgment, because a court did not rule that Vanderlei would owe that. That was like a private agreement. I don't know if it's that big of a contract that when you sign on for to get your license, if you say, I agree to the State Athletic Commission's jurisdiction and we'll adjudicate this in court. I just don't know how that works, but I just found that kind of strange that they had to get real snarky and throw that $70,000 fine in there.
Yeah, that's just way too much.
It was overkill, I thought. I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, you've already taken away his heart to fight anymore and taken away his ability to fight, even if he would still want to. I mean, from what he said, the heart just went out of him after that. He lost his desire for the whole thing. So,
right. But, it is what it is in that situation, too. Other Bellator stuff to talk about too here. Alexander Flamenco versus Brandon Olivey coming up in Mexico. But getting back to Wanderlei, I don't think he's ever going to pay that. And basically, I think he's going to be able to fight in Brazil if he really wants to in the future. Just not obvious.
Well, didn't they say that he's also going to try to appeal this in Nevada? I think I'd heard that somewhere. I don't know if I read it or heard it or whatever the case was, but I guess he's thinking of going to court to try to appeal that lifelong ban.
Yeah, I don't think he'll have any luck there, because they're just basically trying to make an example. They cannot do this. Our jurisdiction. That's the main thing. It's grand. Literally grand, according to Chess. He literally ran from the test. And I don't think the system was necessarily meant for people who are about to retire or could retire rather than face judgment. So I think he's serious about retiring, and he probably should have retired anyway. But he wanted that one last fight. And if he really wants that one last fight, he's not going to get it in Nevada. He might spend some money on some lawyers, but he's not going to get overturned. If anything, like you said, maybe fine. The fines might be reduced.
Well, perhaps him and Sonnen could do one of those backyard things like Tank Abbott did with Scott Ferozzo back, I think that was about 3 years ago, if I remember right, back in fall of 2011.
Yeah. Metamorphosis, whatever. Grappling tournament. Anyway, Bellator, big fight coming up. Slomenko, he's 50 wins. 50 wins. 8 losses. Fighting Brandon Halsey, who has a measly 7. No losses. Co-main event, Patricky Freire, who is 13-5. Fighting Martin Kells, who is 19-3. Very good matchup there. We have Thiago Meller, who's 19-5. Fighting Bubba Jenkins, who's 7-1. Ed West, 14 knockouts, fighting Alejandro Berrios, 36-6. 31 knockouts, all 6 losses by stoppage. I think we got our mismatch of the week here. Right. Omar Estrella, main event here in Baja California, Mexico. Tijuana, speaking of Tijuana, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
I go down there right here. Omar Estrella. You got to put your money on him. He's 19-6-2, right?
Mm-hmm.
11 knockouts. He's fighting TBA, who is debuting, according to this. It's his pro debut.
TBA.
Whoever it is.
Wow.
Sorry. Whoa.
You gotta wonder. You gotta wonder what kind of commission they have there in the Baja. Oh, wow.
Hey, speaking of Roy Jones Jr., guess who's fighting in Russia tomorrow night? Roy Jones Jr. Where's he waiting?
Really?
Fighting Hani Apio, who's 14-2, and it's for the World Boxing Union German version, Cruiserweight title. So an Asian guy, American. Roy is 58-8, 41 knockouts. Only fight on the card. Out in Whitehall, New York tomorrow night, we have a big female fight. Nicole Woods, 11-14, with Rob great win, fighting Melissa St. Veal, who's 6-1-2. It's for the interim WIBA World Lightweight title. And we got some fights in Mesquite, Texas tomorrow. USA Fox Sports 1 showing the fights here. And Selmo Moreno, bantamweight, 12-rounder here for his title here. WBA Super Bantamweight title on the line. Moreno is 35-1 with 12 knockouts. He's fighting Juan Carlos Payano, who's 15-0, 8 knockouts. We got a 10-rounder, Charles Hatley, 23-1, 16 knockout, 1 draw, fighting Richard Thiers, 28-13, 17 knockouts. Let's see what else we got. Also on Friday night in California, Ontario, California, we got WBC Caribbean Boxing Federation lightweight title on the line. Between Hector Velasquez, who has 56 wins, 38 by knockout, 22 losses, and 3 draws. Jose Roman, 17-1-1 with 12 knockouts. Also on the card, looks like a relative, Daniel, the co-main event, who is 11-2-1, fighting Jonathan Alcantara, who's 7-11-2. So, that's not even in Saturday. Not even in Saturday yet. We're getting to Saturday. That's all Friday night fights. When Friday night fights is not even on anymore. Speaking of fights, how are the Eagles going to do this weekend, Tony?
I don't know.
Are they going to win by a field goal again? I got to predict some games this week for my other job.
I mean, with so many injuries, I'm having a hard time betting on them this weekend. But at the same time, you know, they proved they got a lot of fight in Philadelphia.
Well, we got a big card up in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, this weekend, Saturday night. Big light heavyweight fight, Dvorak Cloud versus Artur Beterbiev. All 5 of his pro wins, 5 knockouts. No losses, no draws. This is for the vacant NABA light heavyweight title. Dvorak Cloud fight part 2 with 19 knockouts. The NABF lightweight titles in the co-main event. Thierry Jean, 26-1, fighting Daniel Beans. 32-7, 22 knockdowns. And 10-rounder, welterweight, Anthony Fury, 32, with 5 knockdowns. Ivan Reyros, who's 19, with 13 knockdowts. Now, welterweight, Kevin Bisbee, the busier fighter, 22-1, fighting Bazikas. 3-6, so it's not quite Disney World. Anyway, Arthur Abraham fighting this week in Germany.
What?
Fighting Paul Smith, who's 35-3 with 20 knockouts. Super middleweight. Arthur Abraham is 40-4 with 20 knockouts, 40 wins. That's the WBO World Super Middleweight title. And the co-main event, nobody special. A guy named Vincent Fagenholz. He is 15-1. Not bad. Fighting Guram Sulishvili, who is 8-1. But Matthew Macklin's actually on this card. Germany. He's 30-5 with 20 knockouts. But Jose Yabez, who's 12-4-1. And also Matus Masterman, where he's fighting an 8-rounder. 32-2 with 23 knockouts. And Ben Nisikoa, 11-2 with 8. Now we go to Mexico for a big featherweight fight for the WBC United featherweight title. We have a lot of fights happening in Mexico. We got Romulo Pica, who is 21-4 with 12. Gennaro Camargo, who's 44-6, 34 knockouts. A lot of fights going on in Mexico. We got Quintana Roo, Mexico. Lightweight Javier Prieto, 24-7, and Ivan Cano, who's 22-6, fighting for the WBC silver lightweight. This could be the match of the week here. Super flyweight, Selena Munoz, 42-2. Super flyweight, and I've never heard of this one. Fighting Karina Hernandez, who's 5-0-3. At least she's not bleeding. I think a girl who's 42. 10 rounds light welterweight. Marvin Quinn, 5-5 with 21 knockouts, fighting Carlos Murillo Sanchez. 3-10-1 with 4 knockouts. Here's a female fight. Philippines between Vivas, who's 3-1 with 3 draws, fighting Lady Love. What's this lady's name? Lady Love. 1-2. Krzysztof Volodarczyk is also in Russia this weekend. 4-2-1 fighting Grigory Grozd. 38-1, 27 knockouts. Ladarchik has 35 knockouts. This is for the WBC World Featherweight title. And guess what other fights are on the line? The WBA World Featherweight titles on the line. Fight night, also Featherweight, Dennis Kamenev, 5-2, 19 knockouts. And Pavel Kolodziej, who's undefeated, 30. On this card, the WBO Oriental Cruiserweight title is on the line. Oriental between Dala Mardashvili, Oriental. He's 37-32 with 28 knockouts. He's fighting 9-5 with 5 knockouts. We have the WBA World Female Light Rumble on the line between Svetlana Kulakova, 9-0-1, and Anna Gorostevich, 10-3-2. And I think that's about it of the big fights this week. Interesting one for the WBC Continental Americas, Washington, D.C., Saturday. Dusty Hernandez Harrison, 23-0, 12 knockouts, fighting Hector Munoz, 3-13, 1 draw, 15 knockouts. Anthony Ferrante also on that card, 12-6 with 7 knockouts, fighting Venroy, 16-1, draw. 6 knockout wins. DC. Good for you. And I forgot all about this one. On the river. I'm just going to call it over the hill. That Ricardo Mayorga, Samuel Peter, and your boy Campos all on the same card.
Wow. That'll be entertaining, if nothing else.
Yep. Over the hill, not on the river. This is going to be on GoFightLive.tv if you really want to watch this. This is from Oklahoma City, Saturday. Ricardo Mayorga fighting Alan Medina, who's a perfect opponent for him. Nearer of his record. By nearer, I mean opposite. Mayorga is 29-8-1 with 23 knockouts. Medina is 9-23 with one draw. All 13 of 23 losses have been by KO. Only has one win by KO. Samuel Peter, also coming back from obscurity. He's 34-5 with 27 knockouts, fighting Ron Aubrey, who is 12-3-1, with all 12 wins coming by way of knockouts, so this could be a tough one for the big guy. And these are 8-round fights, by the way. Then we have Yuri Boy Campos, who has the best record just about of probably anybody in boxing right now, still fighting, really. He's got 102 wins. 102 with 79 freaking knockouts. 17 losses.
Here's how long Yuri Boy Campos has been in the game. He was, if not the first, one of the first knockout losses to Felix Trinidad in one of Trinidad's first title defenses. 1994. I remember I came home from college and we had a big pay-per-view card that weekend and I was home for that and I was a freshman. He was one of Felix Trinidad's first ever title defenses at welterweight. And Felix has been retired how long?
I don't know.
Well, Felix only fought no more than four times. Mr. Hopkins beat him. That was 13 years ago. That was right after 9/11. Hopkins beat him. Then he came back and beat Mayorga. He had one fight after that against Sonny Sharif, knocked him out. Then he retired, came back, beat Mayorga. And he had to go into right, and then came back a few years later and lost to Roy Jones.
I think he's so old, he fought Gene in his debut. No, not that old. He's got quite the record. He's fighting a guy named Julio Cesar Lanzas, 8-19-6. Only one of those 8 wins coming by way of knockout, so hopefully Campos can make it to the ring with his walker, and he should be all set against Lanzas once he gets in there. Then we've got the old contender guy, Grady Brewer, on the card. 31-19 is his record. Losses. 16. He's fighting Sand. 29-4. That's really going to be a great fight. That could be the fight. Right there. And we have the real mismatch. Definitely hands down mismatch. Round leg welterweight. Carson Jones, 65-10-3 with 25 knockouts, fighting Bill Park, 4-14-2. Tough. I'll cut that.
Mm-hmm.
And Torrey Nelson, our former guest, is going to be fighting 10-0-3. Fighting for the Women's International Boxing Association World Welterweight title versus Arlene Blenko, who's only 2-2. Also on the card, another female fight, Tyresha Douglas, 5-0 with one knockout, fighting Whitney Gunter. We get into Sunday. Shit going on in South Korea and Tokyo. Nothing good. United Kingdom. a lot of, here's a record. This is a Yuri Campos' opposite record. Jason Nesbitt, 10 wins, 179 losses.
Okay, what was that again? 10 wins? 10?
Yes.
Okay, like in fingers, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, 10 wins and 179 losses.
Yep. Sunday. Only been knocked out 16 of those times.
So. Yeah. Okay. So now you're his sports psychologist. What do you guys tell this guy? Hang in there, kid.
He's got to fight the guy who's 4-1. He needs to fight the guy who's fighting that cruiserweight who's 5-46.
Well, he's going to turn it around. He's going to turn it around real soon. Jeez. 10 and 179.
Tell him you're only one fight away.
Yeah. You're only as good as your last fight.
You're only one
fight away. That's it. Oh, my God. That is just... I don't even have words for that. I mean, it's like, at what point do you realize maybe I'm not cut out for this? There's no shame in that. No shame in just tapping out, you know? I mean, this is a rough business. It ain't for everyone.
Tom, I'll tell you where there is shame. There is shame from the 10 guys that lost to him.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, could you imagine? Boy, now there's an elite club. There's the dream team, huh? Wow.
I was at a card. Boy, I just started actually covering fights for Fight News Unlimited. So this had to be probably around late 06, early 07. And there was actually a stretch where there was a fight card in Philadelphia every week for about 4 straight weeks. It was great. I was every one of them. I loved it. Well, one of them was up in Eatonville, Pennsylvania, not far from where we went to the fight, Tom, maybe only about 10 or so minutes, because it was right where... Harry Yorgi, almost close to where he lived. And he was waiting on the card. This is when he was really first starting out. And there was another guy on the card, Travis Kaufman. His father promoted that one we went to. And we've interviewed Travis.
Right.
And he was really starting out himself. And he fought a guy, and he knocked him out, I think, in one round. I think he knocked him out in one round. This guy was like 1-5. All 5 losses were first-round knockouts. And his one win was a run-around knockout. I'm like, dude, his trainer's got the easiest gig in the business. Take his hands and I don't even need to walk to the ring with you. You know, because I'm not going to work between the rounds.
Yeah. Boy, if anything goes into the second round, he won't know how to act when he gets a stool set down after round one, you know. It's like, it'd be a whole new experience.
He'll bring the stool in the ring, but what's that?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
What do you do with it? You sit on it. For how long? Till the bell rings again.
Yep.
We got a few more fights early next week to cover here quickly. We got Monday night, Mountain Plaza, 27-62. Now 10 down there. Then 6-2 with 17 knockouts. At Golden Boy Promotion, Saturday Night Fight, from Hidalgo, Texas, on USA Fox Sports 1. We got Joseph Diaz, 11-0, 7 knockouts, fighting Raul Hidalgo, 22-11, with 16 knockouts. Most people on that card really together between Vincel Maldonado Jr. and the big TBA, Mike Motorweight, Jr., 18-2. Ricardo Alvarez also fighting at Mike Motorweight. He's 23-3-3 with 14 knockouts. Also fighting TBA. And light heavyweight Steve Lovett is a 10-0 fighter with 8 knockouts fighting TBA. How they don't have their shit together. Monday, but, TBA. Now here's a good one, Tony. I think you might change your name. You might want to take a different. Guys from Thailand fighting Wednesday on my birthday, October 1st. And he's fighting a 12-round minimum weight championship fight against the guy. He's undefeated too, but this guy he's fighting, Carlos Buitrago. He's 27-0-1 with 16. knockouts at minimum weight. This is an interim WBA world minimum weight title. And the guy he's fighting is 8-0, 5 knockouts, and his name is Knockout AP Crunchmart. I don't know where you got the name. At the Fresh Mart, I guess. Knocked out CP Fresh Mart.
I had a talk about funny names. I had a tax client once by the name of Iron Cannon. And so, of course, I went into my whole routine. I said, man, you got to we got to get you in that ring. Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, with the fist of iron, you know, so I'm going through a whole routine. And ironically, it was a few months after that the guy was on the police blotter arrested for assault. So he was plying his talents inappropriately. But how's that for a name, huh? Iron Cannon.
He was flashing his iron in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Anyway, we also have on my birthday, Wednesday, ESPN2 is back with Wednesday Night Fights, Friday Night Fights on Wednesday. We got Hassan Ndam. I got that buddy for you. Padre. He is hits one loss. With Curtis Peep, 27-4 in knockouts. We got another TBA here, welterweight, here it is, 21-1-1 with 11 knockouts, one there, fighting TBA, welterweight, and a light heavyweight 10-rounder, Maxim Vlasov, who's 30-1, wins one loss, 15-1, fighting Isaiah Thomas, 13-0. And if that's not enough, we have Ray Nahr, 26-1 knockouts, fighting Frederick Lawson at welterweight, 22-0, 20 knockouts. And if that's still not enough, we have a featherweight fighting Miguel Mariaga, 18-0 with 16 knockouts, and Christopher Martin, 28-3-3 with 9 knockouts. Pretty much it for the week in boxing. And have I got a story for you guys. Now, do you like MMA or not? These guys are buying promotion that's doing boxing. Doing fights. And there's a story we overlooked a couple weeks ago. They had a fight card, MMA fight card in Bangor, Maine. And there's a guy named Patrick Kelly. And he had his first pro MMA fight. He's a wrestling coach. Guess how he is? Anyway, let me guess. Bueller? Hello.
Yeah, you were fading out there, Rich.
Oh, I lost him. Tony.
Really?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh. Okay. You called in. That's why I thought we lost you, because I couldn't see on Skype. But anyway, as I was saying, there was a guy just made his mixed martial arts debut up there. Guess how old he is? 50 years old. Okay,
say that again. How old?
50 years old.
50. Okay.
Won by first round submission victory over Frank Della Sala. This guy, Patrick Kelly. He said it was a rush.
How old was his opponent?
I think it is.
Do we know? Okay, and so the 50-year-old guy finished his opponent in the first round?
Yep.
Boy. You know, I wonder how that would feel if you're in your 20s and you get beat up by your dad. Or, Or it almost would get to the point of fighting by your grandfather. You know, I mean, that would have to be some incentive on the young guy to not lose that fight. Wow, that's amazing.
Well, here's some of his quotes. He says, "You visualize during your training how it's going to be when you walk out there and how you'll feel the day of the competition. I was so focused, I don't think I heard a whole lot except my coaches. I heard the crowd, but couldn't differentiate whether it was anything other than noise. I was just in the zone. For me, it was just the cherry on the cake to come up with the win. As I went in with the strategy of closing ground with a couple punches, I'm not a striker. I can throw a punch and take a punch, but I didn't want to play it. Because if you land something, anyone can get knocked out. You can get knocked back to third grade pretty quickly if you don't pay attention." And from his Jim Young's MMA and Banger, weren't surprised. They said, "I screamed out when he got hold of that kid because I knew he was going to throw him around, and that's what he did. He went back to his roots and did everything perfectly. It was a beautiful, beautiful fight." That was Ryan Sanders, another MMA fighter.
Yeah, did he win by submission or tap out from ground and pound?
Submission.
Okay. Wow.
Big shakeup for chair number 6, Robbie Lawler versus Johnny Hendricks. Now that Weidman versus Belfort is out on that card, the rematch versus Robbie Lawler versus Johnny Hendricks will take place December 6th now. Another piece of news we didn't mention yet. It's a big one. Also, we forgot to mention while we're talking about how great Floyd Mayweather is and how he loves him so much and his whole family. He wants to spend Christmas with him this year at his mansion. We forgot to mention that Jim Lampley had been say. Did you hear about this, Tony?
No, I didn't.
Jim Lampley, he's got a show on HBO called The Fight Game.
You know what? I looked at the one thing I saw a little video before I got on the air, and I saw something that Jim Lampley, but I didn't look. So I was like, "Oh shit, there's a cooking game on."
Well, Jim, obviously an HBO guy. Mayweather's now a Showtime guy, so obviously there's boxing. So Jim has the Fight Game TV show, and he had his flat. He says some pretty hard shit about Mayweather. Says boxing did not come a moment too soon about Floyd. Says in its entirety, here is his comments. Floyd Mayweather long ago made clear that isn't trying to please the entire available market. Through the concentrated money of this pay-per-view distribution, he has convincingly that he can do it his way. Create a kind of appeal not all of them understand, and attract and outdistances those of polite golfers and friendly, smiling water consumers. Some would say more power to him. But if the goal is to push limits of public point where the overwhelming preponderance of people wash their hands and want nothing to do with him or his fights. His last comment to the effect that the NFL was overreacting to a videotape by suspending was probably a pretty good start. The apology did little to remove it. Lampley also adds, "This was the absolute height of heaving a rock out of a glass house. And if he honestly thinks that he can offer that kind of love to Rice without offending significant numbers of fans and observers, he's wrong. The fact is, unbeaten record or not, consummate skill notwithstanding, Floyd Mayweather is an often aggressively distasteful human being whose behaviors are a blight on the boxing landscape." If anybody needs a translation on that one, Floyd Mayweather sucks, is what Jim Lampley says. He also said last week, this is Mayweather, this is Lampley talking, by the way. He also said last week he will retire from the ring after the completion of a 6-fight CBS Showtime contract. And in responding to the earlier in the show about that because it won't happen. But if it did, no damage would accrue to boxing. Put him in a boxing team and Floyd Mayweather not come along. And I just feel it's no longer necessary or should be necessary and probably never was necessary to tiptoe around this and that we're going to bring down the whole facade of somebody openly criticized the guy who is seen as the number one fighter. The show says it all. He's the number one fighter and we've acknowledged that. What he does out of the ring is not helpful to the image of the sport, and to a certain degree what he does in the ring is not helpful to the image of the sport. I don't think that the whole building is going to fall down if somebody pulls out a brick. So I pulled out a brick. That's it. And other people can do the same. As reporters who love the sport, we have a stick up. So Tony's been pulling out bricks for a while, but I'm not sure that the building's not falling down.
Oh, me? I'm talented.
Tony's not a good mason. He's a good mason.
No, I knock walls down.
We've got to get the tornado going to Floyd Mayweather's gym. I'll bring him down. But yeah, I thought they would treat him with a little bit more disdain there at the meeting, but it sounds like they just kind of let him blow smoke up their ass and got away with another. Yeah. So we're stuck with him for a few more fights. Nothing new on the Mayweather situation. I mean, the Pacquiao situation, I should say. So, but wait, the event kind of materialized. I don't know, Tony, if you do impressions, but. Good Vladimir Klitschko impression. Maybe we can give Shannon Briggs a call.
Let's see how I can do here. I never knew Vladimir Klitschko to sound like a South Philly Italian. But I think Beatley would be easier because Vladimir is a little bit more personable. Beatley's more robotic, like, kind of like, you know, a four-man Ivan Drago, like, yes, my brother is doing a very great job as champion. I never met my brother, but now that I retire, my brother can, he can hold all the championships, and Shannon Briggs, I already beat your ass, Shannon Briggs. And now you want to fight my brother? My brother will beat your ass even worse than I would. And that's why my brother is the champion right now. And I would never fight my brother, but he would be happy to fight Shannon Briggs and knock his head off.
Very good.
I don't even know if it's a direct number, but I'm just kind of looking at my notes. I mean, it's Shannon Briggs right there, because Matt Janowski gave me his number when he put out a press release about one of his fights coming up a while back, and I've never gotten in touch with him yet, but I will. Bad Chad Dawson.
Do not piss Shannon Briggs off, he'll come eat your cereal.
What?
Do not piss Shannon Briggs off, he will come eat your cereal.
I was thinking if we pranked him, we could be like, yeah, I'm at this restaurant here. If you want to eat what the champ eats, why don't you show up? We'll have a press conference and we'll sign this fight.
And this time, bring your own plate, right?
Yeah. We got a spork right here for you in case you get violence. But you can eat what the champ eats. Anyway, yeah, Bad Chad Dawson was in line, too. We were trying to see what his availability was to.
I think I read somewhere that Dawson's going to be coming up soon.
I tried to get him. Sorry. I'll check out on there. Definitely going to fight. standoff turns to action. Two-time world champion. No support. Foxwood, I guess. The Saturday of next week. So the 4th at Foxwood. He's fighting Tommy Carpensi. Long time ago.
Tommy's a cool fighter. I see Tommy fight once or twice. Maybe he went over my friend Tucker last year. You know, the one fight he had with ESPN, he lost that one. It was a very, very good fight. You know, the difference. You know, Tommy is a steel fighter, not a big puncher. So I think that's why they're putting him in the UFC, because, you know, he's kind of a guy that's a little bit gun shy right now. You're going to put him in there against a guy that's, you know, not really going to be a big punching threat.
And he's had some wars with Rico Saunders, Carpenti, former guest of ours. Also on this card, we have another guy seen in person by Ramsev Barthelemy, 20-0, with one more contest, 12 knockouts. He's fighting Fernando Sorrido, who has 52 wins, 5 losses, and 3 draws, 8 knockouts. That's the main event. That's going to be our show today. Yeah, we'd love to get that chat on the show. We'll see if we can handle that. I have always been a big fan of the Chad Dawson jab back when he was with our boy, Don Scully.
Yeah.
It's pretty nasty. We'll come and get back to that kind of thing. But anyway, I think that's all we have. I really don't have any major news other than what we've already brought up. I know there's some big fight changes. I probably didn't mention UFC fights coming up in the distance, but I know it's coming up for sure. Here's a little bit of box schedule. I really think I missed anything. And knockout.
Yeah, I don't think there's nothing really that I know of off the top of my head.
Reconnected.
Reconnected and it feels so good.
Alright, so who we got? Tony?
I don't know if anything else is going on to really talk about.
So I guess they just must have just cut off at the last second there.
Yeah, it's been good.
Sorry, I hit again.
That's really big in the horizon.
All right, so I just called back in to check out.
All
right. What it is. So I'm going to get really hung up on by blog. We'll sign off. Hopefully. Thanks for stopping by, everybody.
Great. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Always a pleasure. That's going to be good. I'm going to be able to come to them next week.
All right, guys. Let's enjoy the weekend's action.
Adios, amigos.